Go with me now to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We might come back to Ephesians. I certainly quote some of it or refer to some of it. Listen to what John the Baptist said. He that believeth on the Son hath life. That's what he said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And then John the Apostle said, this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he that hath the Son hath life. That's what it says. That's what he said. God can't lie. He that hath the Son, what's that mean? He that hath faith in the Son, all his faith is in the Son. He that hath hope in the Son, he that hath a need for the Son, hath life. Hath. A woman was talking to me on the phone the other day, and she was in trouble and despair. She'd been talking to a preacher who asked her when she was saved. When she felt like she was saved. And she couldn't give a definite answer. She said the Lord began to work on her. And she said quite some time later, she said she felt like she finally believed. And the man said to her, that's too long. And so she was greatly troubled. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not up to someone else to decide if I am saved or not. Aren't you glad? I hope this will be a comfort to God's people and give assurance. I hope someone will hear. I hope the Lord will save someone. It's through his word. I know that. This is the power of God. There are basically five types of hearers that I preach to, that any man preaches to. There are the saved, God's people who are saved and have some assurance of it. They believe. Salvation is to believe on the Son of God. I just quoted it to you, right? It's to really believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him. That's salvation. He is salvation. There are those who believe him, those who trust him and have some assurance in him. There are those who are saved and have very little assurance, constantly in doubt, no assurance. And that the reason for that has to be because they're looking within themselves to find something to give them some assurance that they're saved. Well, that's not where you look for assurance. You look to the surety. You look to him. Our Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved. Look within, you'll just see sin. And it'll leave you full of doubt. You look to him, give you hope, peace, assurance. Then there are the unsaved that are religious and have some religion, some doctrine, and unsaved, but think they're saved. A lot of them. Then there are the unsaved who don't care. They're lost and don't know it and don't care and don't want to know it. And then, and this is all of us, there are those who are being saved. Being saved. The Lord is dealing with and bringing and making hungry and making thirsty and making call and making come and being saved. The title of this message is, when is a person saved? Well, I'll tell you three things. When God purposed it. When Christ died, and when the gospel comes, and when we're in glory. Four. Okay? We have been, we are now, we shall be saved. Okay? Saved. What does saved mean? It means you're lost, and someone has to find you. Now that there, that plainly means salvation's of someone else. That if you somehow or another, I'm not going to talk. It's certain no one saved who thinks they had something to do with it. Anything to do with it. No one saved who thinks they had anything to do with it. They made a choice or their will or, you know, they accepted Jesus and let him into their life. That's not salvation. That person's still lost. They're just religious. They just got religion. That's certain. But to be saved means you're lost and that means somebody has to find you. You can't save yourself. You don't know the way. Someone has to come where you are and find you. To be saved means you were dead and someone has to give you life. Dead, Martin used to say, it means graveyard dead. You know what graveyard is? Lazarus, he's dead. He's stinking dead. There's a stone over the door. What did the Lord do? He gave command. Roll away the stone. I'm going to give him life. I'm going to bring him out of dark. I'm going to call him from death to life. I am come that he might have life. He's not going to have life unless Jesus Christ says so. Salvation is to be blind. And if you're blind, you can't see. And if you ever see, someone has got to give you sight. Salvation is you don't believe, and one day you do believe. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And now, once that happens, when that happens, there's no gray area. You hear me? There's no gray area. Whose will is it? You'll quit asking that question. Because we read there in Ephesians 1 of his own will. His will. He realized that. And I wouldn't be saved if God hadn't willed it. Now, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Psalm 3:8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Jonah 2:9. Salvation is of the Lord. It's his will. It's his mercy. It's his grace. It's his prerogative. It's his choice. It's his purpose. It's his work. It's his blood. It's his righteousness. It's his power. And it's for his glory. To the praise and the glory of his grace. Repentance is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Works are the gift of God. Salvation's of the Lord. How plain can I make it? I didn't make it plain. The Lord did. This is God's word, okay? Salvation is threefold. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father thought it. God the Son bought it. And God the Holy Spirit brought it. Or, God purposed it. God the Father purposed it. God the Son purchased it. God the Holy Spirit applies it. Salvation of the Lord. Election by the Father. Redemption by the Son. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Salvation of the Lord. You lost, he finds you. You're dead, he gives you life. You're blind, he makes you see. To the praise of the glory of his grace. It's the three R's, ruin, redeem, regenerate. It's a true story. You've heard it. Someone hasn't. But years ago, a young girl in the church that my father pastored, years ago, 40 or 50 years ago, she was in school and the teacher said, the girl was maybe 6 years old, the teacher said, who knows what the three R's are? You know, you women over 70, and I'm not over 60 knows, went back in school, you needed to learn three things, didn't you? Reading, writing, arithmetic. Those are the three R's. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Well, this little girl said, she waved her hand. I know them. I know the three R's. She said, well, stand up. She said, tell us. She said, ruined, redeemed, and regenerated. All right, this woman teacher probably had a master's degree in education. She said, what? What on earth are you talking about? See, at least that child knew the truth in her head. The salvation of the Lord. Ruined by the fall, redeemed by the Son, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Salvation of the Lord. What happened in the garden? Ruined, dead, sin, in bondage. What happened on the cross? Salvation, redemption, captivity, loosed. The gospel come by the Spirit of God. There's one thing for sure all God's children know. They know the three R's. They know. If we're saved, God did it. God did. So the answer, as I said, the answer to this question, when is someone saved, is fourfold actually. We have been, we are now, we are being saved, and shall be. We shall be. All right? When are we saved? We were saved. God's people were all saved when God said so. When God, before the world began, chose a people and purposed to give them to Christ, to come to earth and live for them, establish a righteousness, go to the cross, be made sin for them, pay for all their sin, come back to glory, sit down, reign and rule till all that's over and then come and get them and take them back to glory. Now, all that was said. Now, all of that was in the mind, the will, and the purpose of God before anything ever had its being. And it's as good as done. God said, I've spoken it, I will bring it to pass. He said, I've purposed it, I will do it. Done. Years ago, I taught you all Latin. You remember? We all learned Latin years ago. We learned two words. It's all you need to know. All you need to know. All the Latin you need to know. Dictum, factum. Dictum, factum. Said, done. Done. That's the difference between the salvation men are preaching today. Two letters. They say do. Salvation says done. It's done. When God said it, it's as good as done. Known unto God are all His work from the beginning of the world. He purposed all things in Christ. And God said, I've spoken it, I will do it. Okay? You talking about eternal justification? Yes, I am. I don't like that. I do. Because whatever God purposed, it's going to be done. That's all my hope. Whatever God promised, it's going to come to pass. That's all my hope. If anything's left up to anybody or anything, I'm a goner. But when God said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and what's the rest of that? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And loving His own, He'll love them to the end. All right? God's people have been saved. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. You turn there. We quote it. We know, verse 28. We know. Who knows? Who's he talking to? Those in Christ. Those led by the Spirit of Christ. What does he do? He shows them Christ. He teaches all that Christ did, right? And they're saved by hope in Christ, he said. He said, that's what we all know. All know that all things work together for good to them that love God. When they know they love God. Why? Because he first loved them. They know that. To them who are the called. According to what? Purpose. Whose purpose? A man wrote years ago a book called The Purpose Driven Life. Made a fortune. Probably become a millionaire. You know. And all these people out there bought this book. You don't need that book. You need Romans 8:28. Here's the purpose of God. And all things work together for the good of God's people. The purpose of God according to salvation and redemption, it's all in Jesus Christ. He purposed the salvation of His people. And it's all on purpose. 4, verse 29, whom He did foreknow. This is all past tense. You see that? It all sounds like it's already happened. It has. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. We read that in Ephesians 1, didn't we? He predetermined you know, this, what that is, predestination, is planned parenthood on God's, according to God. Planned parenthood. He chose who his children would be, how many they are, what they look like, the hairs on their head. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, the adoption by Christ. It says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He called by the gospel. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Past tense. Said, done. Dictum factum. So we're saved when God purposed it. The purpose of God, Romans 9 says, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of him that runneth, but of God that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. The purpose of God, they not were born yet, but God purposed. God chose. God elected. Somebody says, I don't understand that. Yes, you do. Yes, you did. Sure you did. He chose this one, passed by this one. What's hard to understand about that? If he hadn't chosen this one, he would never have chosen him. Right? This one won't. This one will choose. Why? Because God chose him. No other reason. Right? They're both dead. Same mother. Same father. Huh? But God said, I love this one. He didn't deserve a love. He's just like this one. But God, with a great love, wherewith he loved Jacob. You'd have liked Esau better than Jacob. But God chose Jacob. Set his love on him. And nothing and nobody's going to stop God from saying, not even Jacob. And some of you are laughing. He must be a son of Jacob. Saint doctrine, this is God choosing sinners. Saved when God chose. Saved when Christ came. Look at Romans 8. When Christ came, look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is who justified? It is God that justified. Does your faith justify? Mm-mm. It's God that justified. That publican was justified before he knew it. All the publicans say is, have mercy. And our Lord said, he's justified. All right, read on. Verse 34. For he, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Why does someone say, because God says so? Why does someone say, because Christ died? Because Christ came. Because Christ came to live for them. According to the law, he came to die for them. According to the law. And he's coming again for them, according to the promise. Christ came, Christ lived. Look at Romans 5. Go back there quickly. Romans 5. Look at this. When is a person saved? When Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's tree, all of God's people from time past to time future were saved by his blood. Saved. Absolutely. Put away. Finish the transgression. Isn't that what the scripture says, John? Isn't that what the scripture says? He said it's finished. Who finished it? He did. Nothing left to do? Nothing. Done. Dictum factum. All right? Christ had to die, though. They're not going to be saved if Christ doesn't come, live for them, made under the law, made of a woman. Adam, second Adam, covenant head, made sin. For them, put away their sin in his body on the tree. He had to come and die for them. It was a sure thing. It's a certain thing. He's a surety. He came and died. Look, Romans 5, it says in verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. Who? Who's he talking about? these Roman believers here. He started out talking to those that the called, all the called, called to be saints. Grace to you, peace to you. So he goes on to say here, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Or if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. We were reconciled to God when we were enemies. Right? That's what it says. When we didn't believe, Christ hung on the cross. Went before we were born. Christ in his prayer, Father, forgive them. Who's that for? Me. You, if you believe, according to his Bible. So while we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of his son. Much more then, being reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. We shall be saved. We have been. We shall be. All right? We're saved when God said so. We're saved when Christ came and did so. We're saved when the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, gives us new birth. Ephesians 1. Go back there. Ephesians 1. We're saved when the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, and nobody's saved apart from preaching the gospel. Nobody. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So in Ephesians 1, look at this. I'm going to read it again. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in Christ before the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It's all according to the good pleasure of his will. Read on. And it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, where? In the beloved. In whom, verse 7, we have redemption done. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now it goes on to say, in verse 9, he's made known unto us the mystery of what? His will. If you were in religion before, you thought you had a free will. But when God comes through the gospel, he makes you to know your will is depraved. It's his will. Not of him that willeth. It's all about mercy. And he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. It's not up to you. And then verse down in verse, look at verse 13. It says, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Salvation comes when the gospel comes to you in power, not word only, not doctrine, but power in the Holy Ghost, and gives you much assurance. What's that? Of Christ. The Holy Ghost shows you Christ. It's all him. It's all him. John 17:3. This is life eternal, our Lord said. And right before that he said, as you've given him power over all flesh, John 17:2. Christ said to the Father, you've given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Is that plain? Who gave who? God gave the people to Christ. Who did he save them? Who has the power? He does. They have none. And then he says, this is life eternal, verse 3, that they might know thee, the only true God. Not a God who wants to be God. Not a God you let be God. That's not the true God. The true God is God. And the true God comes to you and makes you know that he's God. You don't figure it out. He reveals himself to you. I am God. There is none else. There's no little G-O-D with me. You notice that in Isaiah? There's no little G-O-D. Nobody with any power over anything. Certainly not man. He's a worm. A man is a worm. I'm God. The true God. And Jesus Christ
whom thou hast sent. This is life eternally sent, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God sent. Sent on purpose to do what? Save his people. Did he? Yes. That's it. You come to know that. You come to see it. You come to find out. He's God, isn't he? I'm a maggot. Christ is our hope. That's it. I didn't have anything to do with it.
That's when you're saved, when the gospel comes in power. Oh, man. You know, this is the day of salvation right now. I'm preaching the gospel. But it's up to God. It's not up to you. Not up to me. It's up to God. If he can take this word and open blind eyes and deaf ears and hard heart and roll away the stony heart, he can roll away that stone. It's up to him. Totally up to him. We preach the same thing, same one, over and over, until God. Well, those that have been saved, this is how we are being saved. It's how we're being saved. And that's my next point. We're being saved. Someone once said, every time the gospel is preached, I feel like I've been saved all over again. Because we all get... You know, we're out in the world and you get dirty and we come back and we hear about the leper being cleansed. How? Day of Atonement. Blood. And we feel like we've been cleansed all over again. We come in here, we go out in the world, we're blinded by money and things and we're deafened by all the voices we hear around us. We're full of fear and doubts and worries and questions. And then we come in here and we hear about the Lord opening a blind man's eyes, a deaf man's ears, and we see, we hear the truth all over again, and it shuts our ears to the world and opens our ears to Him. Shuts our eyes to all we see with these eyes and gives us sight, spiritual eyes. We get out in the world, and the things of this world are dead things. Everything we do is with dead things, inanimate objects, right? Consumed with it. And it deadens us, okay? We come in here feeling dead. And we hear the gospel, the words of life again. No, and it quickens us. Does that do it to you? Is this helping you? Do you love what you're hearing? Do you see? Are you hearing this? Do you love this? The love of the truth. God's people receive a love of the truth. This is why Paul said, I'm bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of spirit. What's that? He takes the things of Christ through the preaching of the gospel and shows it unto you. And belief of the truth, whereunto he called you. The gospel keeps calling us, doesn't it? Keeps calling us. We go out in the world calls us. Well, the gospel, God calls us back. We come to Him. This helping you, Eddie? You love this? You've been given ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive it. You're a receiver. A receiver. Now, we're being saved and we will be saved. This gospel is saving us, and we will be saved. We'll be saved when we stand in with Christ in glory and look over life's finished story. And then, not till then, shall we know how much I have. And then He'll show us the exceeding riches of His grace. We'll be saved when we finally are with Him in glory. We're not there yet. That's what Paul said. He said, I haven't arrived. But he said, this one thing I do, I press. It's a pressing matter to know. And this is how you know someone's being saved.
has been, is saved, and being saved. It's a pressing matter. They have to have it.
Paul wrote this over and over again. Peter wrote this over and over again. If
you hold fast the beginning of your confidence, steadfast in the end, you'll be made partakers of Christ if you hold fast the beginning of your confidence, steadfast in the end. And the rejoicing, if you hold fast and if you still rejoice all the way to the end in Christ, your hope of glory. If you're saved, if you hold fast.
You say, see, preacher, it's up to us to hold. That's not what he's saying.
It's not what he's saying. Let me illustrate. This happened to me. And
we were in a big city. Hannah was 2 years old, maybe. Just learning to walk. And a little over a year old. And we were in this big city. And we're from a small town. And it was hustling and bustling, loud and noisy, and she was scared. I was scared. All right, we had to cross this busy street. But I had her in my arm, okay? And I'm going to take her. I love her. I love her with all my heart. She's mine.
If it's in my power, I'm not going to let anybody or anything hurt her. And I'm not going to let her down. I am not going to say, well, honey, it's, you know, you got a free will. Go ahead. I hope you make it. Huh? No. Come on now. What kind of God is that? I don't need a God like that. I need one that picks me up. He said, from the cradle to your hoary head, I've carried you. Okay? All right, so I'm carrying. How's she going to get across? Me!
She was kept by my power, by my love, by my purpose to take her across. She's kept by me! But you know what she's doing? She's squeezing me in a death grip. She's almost choking me. Honey, give me a hold so tight.
Is she saved by her hold on me? Is it? Does that have anything to do with it?
No. It's me. If she gets across, it's me. If we get to heaven, we're kept by the power of God. But you know what, God's people? They're hanging on with dear life. And that's not what saves us. But it's proof. It's proof of life, of need, of hunger, of thirst, of a sinner needing mercy. Lord, I'm not going to let you go till I get there. I'm not there. I'm afraid. Don't let me down. Huh? Peter knew that. Oh, he got all puffed up. Didn't everybody leave you but me? Okay, Peter. Okay. And he fell so far down, he thought everybody was saved but him. And he heard the most blessed words he ever heard in his life. Go tell my disciples and Peter. You know what Peter did? He dove out of the boat to get to him. He was the first to get to Christ. He was the worst, but he's the first. What did Christ do? He received him. To whom coming? This is proof of salvation. You keep coming. You keep coming. You keep calling. You keep crying. You keep holding. You keep hearing. You keep rejoicing. You keep on keeping on. Why? Because you're kept.
Is that plain? Now, who did the saving? Is it up to us?
Well, what's it all about? To the praise of the glory of His grace. Everybody that gets the glory, everybody that's finally there, that's what they're all going to say. Finally, I have nothing to worry about anymore. We really don't now. But we're all going to say, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, unto Him be all the honor and glory and strength and power and everything. It all belongs to Him. I did the sinning. He did the saving. That's salvation. No. Praise God.
Okay, let's sing a closing hymn.